Welcome to the R7 podcast, sponsored by M is Good. R7 is an innovative, God-inspiring process that explores personal and professional purpose. R7 analyzes seven strategies to transform your vision and find direction in your organizational marketing. R7 establishes clarity and guidance for the gift we call life. This is my destiny. All right, welcome everybody to the podcast today. Today I am talking to you about destiny. And in full transparency in this podcast, I am going to probably break this up into multiple podcasts because there's just so much to unpack here. But at first, I want to give you a background of where I've been with this word. This theme, this message, this really big picture that probably, in my opinion, not many people could answer in terms of what we're supposed to do with our lives. So big picture, as a Christian, we know that we are here to glorify the Lord with our talents and our abilities. And how we do that, whether we're on a peak or a valley, is something pretty special, man. Like God, I believe philosophically, wants us to glorify him in everything that we do, whether we're in a peak or a valley. And I've got some really fun stories about, you know, my valleys that I've been in and how I've not done such a great job of glorifying the Lord, you know, in those valleys. And I've learned over the years. But I want to just start with saying that R7 was very, very special to me. In 2009, I got hit with a prophetic word in Germany. And I'm not like a big prophecy guy. I've seen it happen where, you know, people getting hit with prophecy and the green blanket, people come out and, you know, put a nice blanket on them and, you know, make sure they're warm while they lay out there. And I don't know, man. Like I saw it happen multiple times in my, you know, many different churches I've been into, and it happened to me. Okay. It happened to me in 2009. I'll just get right to it. It happened to me and I fell out and I did fall to my knees and I did have the green blanket people come and put a blanket on me. And my wife was there and she's a testimony too. You know, I fell out and my ears got really hot and my cheeks kind of got hot and like, I didn't know where I was at. Disoriented, and I sat on this word prophet for, and you know, the R7 is very much polished today, but it wasn't back then. And so I started exploring what it meant to be, you know, on a destination, and that's what destiny is and stands for, is destiny. And in this pursuit to glorify him with our talents and our abilities, you know, there's lots of different tests and assessments out there that you can take. And I went down the Myers-Briggs Personality Plus, Strength Finder, Enneagram. I did all those, man. And then some. And I, through that prophecy that I got hit with, I'm sorry, I'm bouncing around here a little bit, but when I hit with that prophecy, I really didn't know what to do with it. And I knew destiny was part of it. I knew that I needed to explore a better version of myself. And so I looked at all these different assessments and personality tools out there, and I started really taking people through what I thought was a process. And there were several mentors that showed up in my life and were there for me and walked me through. And I would love to find one of the biggest mentors that was out there for me in this space. I won't mention his name, but maybe I can have him on the podcast. And so, you know, he was messing with destiny too, and looking at how do we kind of organize it. And, you know, I do want to say that the big picture is to glorify the Lord with our talents and our abilities and figuring out what that space is. And so I took hundreds of people from 2009 to about 2012. I took a lot of people through a process. And these were men and women of God that are trying to glorify the Lord in some shape or form with their talents and their abilities, hundreds. And I just kept on going and I kept on exploring and I kept on fine tuning and making mistakes and And finally, I ended up with a really nice process of really finding what's inside of an individual. And I do want to note that I started going to school. Like I knew I was way over my skis, man. Like I knew that I was in territory I'd never been in before. I like to say I was on a curb on a city I'd never been in. And so I went back to school and I got my master's in counseling sports psychology and I still pursuing a doctorate today. And so I just looked at everything that I could possibly get my hands on with, you know, ongoing practicum knowledge with working with different clients and exploring their vision, their mission, their core values, and really understanding that, you know, whatever God has called you to do, it's a reflection of you. So whether you're a pastor of a church or whether you're a worship leader or not, maybe you're just a person who believes in Jesus and like you're in the workspace and you know you want to do the best that you can, that's awesome. And so how do you do that? I stumbled into a passion profile assessment, and I'll put the links in the description here, but there are 10 archetypes. And out of all the assessments that I stumbled through and all the people I've taken through this destiny process, I have found that this passion profile assessment that was designed by Elena Love and Mark Coogan, hopefully I said that name right, is the Purpose Link organization. And, you know, they outline 10 passion profile archetype clusters. And they start with a builder, they go to a creator, a conceiver, discoverer, a processor, a teacher, a connector, a conceiver, an altruist, a healer, and a transformer. And I know that I'm a transformer, teacher, connector. And I'm just going to use me as an example. But, you know, when I know when I'm a transformer, teacher, connector, I know that I need to go transform something. You know, a transformer is radically different than a processor. You know, a processor is very detailed. A transformer is not. Transformer is big picture, visionary. Whereas a connector is somebody who likes to connect with people. A lot of time your politicians are connectors. You know, they just have a knack for seeing different attributes in different people and connecting them. A teacher is somebody who likes to teach. Doesn't have to be like a teaching professor, but somebody who likes to teach at, you know, different places. And I have found that when you're chasing your destiny, when you're chasing, by the way, you know, destiny, I think I said this before, but destiny is a short for destination. We know as Christians that our life on earth is here to glorify the Lord with our talents and our abilities. And we have to recognize, be aware that the journey is the destination, that the peaks and valleys are going to happen in our life. And in those peaks and valleys is where we glorify the Lord, but also where we fine tune what he has for us. And out of all the assessment tools and the personality profiles out there, I've really found that the Purpose Link organization has developed an assessment, a statistically validated assessment that can help and guide you on where you want to go or where you think you want to go. Early on, I had the Reset Agency. I say early on in this process of discovering R7, and this place in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and we called it Reset Island. And we took some executives in the jungle, and through that experience, I really thought that, you know, we have to kind of blast out the worldly stuff and get you alone with yourself in the jungle. And so this is where I really started to understand the confusion of what destiny means and what the world tells us that, you know, our destiny is. And so, you know, just exploring that really as a marketer, you know, understanding that this word destiny is a very big word, and that it's a word that you really, it's a struggle to get your mind around. And that's where I think that, you know, understanding, getting into, you know, the weeds of your passions is a really good start. It's a really good start. I had a client many years ago that really showed me in the Bible that when Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, the first thing that they did was, well, they knew they were naked. It's the first thing they realized, oh, we're naked. And then they covered themselves. And that word covering in the Greek has a lot to do with, you know, persona, which is, you know, we're covering our persona, so our personality. And so when you think about, you know, when you think about assessments out there and personality assessments, they're really measuring your mask. And so it was really interesting to me to find an assessment that would go beyond the mask, which is this passion profile assessment. So, you know, there's probably many, many other tools out there that are really helpful. I've just found that this one really works. I mean, it really goes beyond your personality and understands, you know, your passions. And so when we're talking about this big, giant market of destiny, and, you know, I think of Braveheart, you know, and this is our destiny, you know, we're going to die for, you know, I really think about how do we break that down and get it into something as tangible that we can feel good about pursuing. And I think the passion profile archetype clusters is a really good start. And so when you get your archetypes, you know, it's really cool to see, like, okay, I'm a transformer, I can really understand myself and what I need to go do versus a processor. And so a processor is somebody is very detailed, loves Excel spreadsheets. That's not me. So, you know, I'm big picture and kind of a lot of things going on. You know, it's hard for me to sit and, you know, analyze data all day, although I like to do it because I see the benefit now. But so I just really want to encourage you to find an assessment out there. When we're talking about the destiny, just want to encourage you to find an assessment tool out there that can help steer you in a direction. And I think the passion profile is a good place to start. So when you're in your passions, you know, passions, I've heard different influencers that are much bigger than me, man, say, you know, following your passions is a bunch of junk. I don't know, that hasn't been my experience. My experience is that when you find your passions, it gives you that extra motivation, internal motivation to really pursue your passion when it stinks. And, you know, when we pursue our passions and we're not skilled in them, it really stinks. You know, as clients come in to M is Good, over the years, you know, and you know, when they haven't started in ministry, I'm very open to say, you know, you're going to get slaughtered mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, you know, like this financially. You know, when you start something new and you're not skilled in it, it is very difficult, as we all know. You know, when you start a new skill, there's lots of books on that. Excuse me, but you know, starting something new is tough. And so, you know, and I've heard this comment too, well, you know, if I pursue my passions, there's not a whole lot of money in it. Well, I would push back and say, you know, there's not a lot of money in it for you. There's other people, name your industry, that are making millions of dollars in the industry you want to pursue. I mean, it's just the way it is. And so when you're learning something new, if you haven't gone to school for what you love to do, which is, I think Gallup does 8% of the economy is engaged at work, you know, 88%, 88% are disengaged at work. Let me say that again, you know, it's, chances are you don't like what you do. And when we get into that conversation, you know, it's the idea of, you know, the world has told you to go to school, get good grades, get a job, learn a skill. You know, you're not getting paid. You're getting paid for a skill, which is not the reason why you're going to leave your job. You know, it's usually because you're not valued, appreciated, and loved. You know, when you are passionate about the field that you're in, you know, you're going to feel validated at some point. You're going to feel appreciated at some point because you're going to go the extra mile. The internal motivation is going to be there for you to pursue that next level. And so this is how we move mountains, man. Like being passionate about it. So I really just don't see the idea of skip your passions. I know there's lots of other books out there. I've read them that says, you know, like, go do something, make a bunch of money, and then go pursue your passions. I don't know, man. Like, as a Christian, I feel like there's just not enough time on the earth to accomplish what God has called us to do. And, you know, to take a hiatus for 20 years and go make $1 million wasn't something I was interested in. You know, I want to glorify the Lord now, because I don't know how many other days I'm going to have on this earth. You know, I'm thankful that, you know, I'm breathing today, but it may not be tomorrow, you know, and that's my prayer every day as I wake up and say, you know, I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to serve the Lord. So let's go back. Destiny is a big word. It's a really big word. And I think the market out there has really made it something sexy and something that's really hard to obtain. And I'm saying, from a little bit of experience of taking clients through this, that, you know, start with something that you can manage, because it's not a very big word. You know, it's not a very big idea if you can get it down to a manageable thing. And I think, you know, the purpose linked with the 10 archetypes is a good place to start. If you know you're a builder transformer, you can really start taking it deep. And that's the other thing I see that's happening, is we like to do a whole lot of things and see like a shotgun approach to see what works. I think that's good in your 20s. But when you're moving on and really finding purpose, you know, I've heard the analogy before, like when you turn on light, you know, in a room, it's nice and it's comfortable. But if you focus light, it becomes a laser, and that laser can cut through anything. And so when you are focused and lasered in on your passions and what you want to do, and that internal motivator of glorify the Lord with everything you do is there, and you can move the world, and the world will move for you. But it's, as we know, it's not easy, because now you got to go get trained. I've heard people say before, you know, I don't know why God doesn't bless me. You know, I've been doing this, and I really want to become, you know, I'm getting an example of like a surgeon. You know, I want to be a surgeon, and I don't know why. And I'm like, well, would you go to school? Oh, like, I got to go to school. like I got to sacrifice something to go learn what I'm called to do. Yeah, man, like, you got to go to school. Like, you gotta actually sacrifice financially, and you probably got to sacrifice some things that are not popular. Like, that's a tough one. I got to sacrifice my family time. Yeah, you got to sacrifice your family time to really be an expert in what you want to do. You know, I've been at this for 23 years now. I've been in the Christian marketing space, and, you know, there's a lot of sacrifice in there. And I think my family understands that. I think my kids understand that I'm sacrificing. And so, you know, there is a level of sacrifice that needs to happen. And so I just want to encourage you. I also think that I'm going to wrap up here in a minute, but I just philosophically, you're hearing this message. I believe that God has put the resources around you to accomplish what he wants for your life. And so, you know, your ability to hear from the Holy Spirit is powerful. I heard this message the other day, and this may cause some debate, and I'm going to actually have Mr. Dave Bennett on tomorrow, and we're going to talk about this. But think about this. Sometimes God's pursuit means he provokes a fight. Sometimes God's pursuit means he provokes a fight. And I heard this the other day, and I just philosophically, I just don't believe that. I believe God is love. And when God is love, like, if you really believe in that idea, like, he's not punishing us for some other purpose. I just don't believe that. Now, I know, man, like, there's some people coming to get me on this. I can feel it. You know, I just think about this. If I'm at point zero, I don't know if you can see this. I don't know if you can't hear. If you listen to this, maybe tough, but if you can see me. But if I'm at point zero and I'm trying to go straight north, and who I'm going to become is straight north. Like, I'm going to be the best version of myself is straight north, man. Like, like straight up, that's what God called me to be, right? I think down at the zero here, down at the start, I think we make bad decisions. And in those decisions, right, there's a lot of problems. And so bad decisions bring in a different friends. Bad decisions bring in your flap, which is your fear, lust, anger, pride. Bad decisions take you off the course. And so if I'm one degree off, one degree over a course of time, it's many degrees off. And so you think about, you know, something simple like, I'm going to go to school and pursue being an accountant. And when you pursue being an accountant, you know, maybe the true north was for you not to be an accountant, but you made a decision to go to school and you're going to stick to that decision. And you're not going to know really if that was a bad decision until 6 years later, right? Because you're out of school, you're actually doing the work, you know, you're actually showing up every day, and it turns out you don't like it. You're not passionate about it after you get done. I'm just picking on an accountant. You can pick any profession you want. So accountants, don't come after me. But, you know, and so we have decisions every day that we make that we don't even know that we made. 6 years later, they turn up being a bad decision. So I think that true north is not God's pursuit provoking a fight with you. I think it's just bad decision-making on your part, you know? And I get it. I've made bad decisions, right? But as I talk to people and I've listened to them, hundreds of them, on this very topic, part of my process is like sitting down with somebody who's got a vision for an organization for 5 to 7 hours. First session's 3 hours. Every week we meet for the next 10 weeks and really finding the tip of the spear in the messaging and in the passions, and then writing a narrative and a story. Like, I have been there and listened to hundreds of you, male, female, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, all of you, hundreds. It may be 1,000 people. I don't know. It's up there. And I hear what you're saying, and I hear the decision making and where you're at now. And I just want to encourage you all that are listening out there that God is love, and He wants you to glorify Him in everything that we do. And so we make difficult decisions. And so in those difficult decisions, sometimes they're just the wrong decisions. And in those wrong decisions is what takes us off course. And so that off the course route. Now, I'm not saying this is why I love GPS, because once you make a wrong turn, it can recalculate. We recalculate all the time. And so I want to encourage you to be aware today that God's got a purpose in your life, that there is a destination of glorifying Him. The destination is a journey. There are peaks and valleys, but finding your passion and what you want to do and really amplifying those topics. So whether it's a builder, a creator, a conceiver, a discoverer, a processor, a teacher, a connector, a conceiver, an ultrasound healer. You know, basically, you know, these are your doctors, these are your chiropractors, these are your nurses. Like they want the world to be a better place, right? They want to help remove toxicity from the group. That's much different than a transformer. And so if you're in a healer situation, right, where you're like, you know, trying to remove toxicity, but you're a transformer, just not going to work, man. Like, you're just going to be frustrated. And so this is the destiny. This is why I started off saying this is a very difficult topic to talk about, but I want to encourage you that there is a path. There is a path to really feeling fulfilled. When you don't go to school, when you go to school, you get good grades, you get a job, you learn a skill. You're being paid upon that skill. You're not being paid by how you are being fulfilled. I'm not saying don't go to school. I'm getting my EDD, my educational doctorate in sport performance psychology. I go to school to pursue the next level. not for the letters, but I'm not saying don't go to school. I'm saying that the passion's got to be there to pursue something. And when that's there, things fall into place. Not that they're easier, but you will feel fulfilled in that. If you're trying to get your fulfillment through money and possessions, it's just not going to work. That's been proven over and over again. We got to get our fulfillment in glorifying the Lord with our talents and our abilities. That's how we do it. So this is going to be part one of Destiny. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. This has given you something to think about. I enjoy talking to you guys every week. I am starting to hear the stories now, and I am super encouraged by the listeners out there. So thank you all. Stay tuned for Destiny Part 2.